Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Open House right across the nation. Well, we certainly do enjoy a lot of religious liberty here in Australia. Simple things like going to church, talking about faith with a friend, expressing our beliefs in a political discussion. They're all freedoms that we probably take for granted a bit. But right now, those freedoms are under the microscope as the Australian Human Rights Commission conducts what it's calling the Freedom of Religion in the 21st Century Project. A report is now being prepared to see whether any of the laws surrounding religious liberties in Australia need to be updated or changed. Jim Wallace, Managing Director of the Australian Christian Lobby, is up on the discussion, as you'd expect he would be. He actually has got some concerns. Jim, good to talk to you.
Yeah, good evening. How are you, Sheridan?
I'm doing well. Yeah, in a nutshell, what is this project all about and what's prompted the government to re-examine our religious freedoms?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's not the government, but it is, as you said, the Australian Human Rights Commission. They've essentially decided to do this themselves, and it is a worry. And I think that concerns indicated in a number of ways. First of all, when they decided to do this and launch it, the commissioner who launched it, Mr. Kalmer, actually made statements like, religion shouldn't be forced down anybody's throat, and particularly in our country. He also said things like, do Christians have too much, and does the church have too much influence into public policy these days? Now, it's clear when you make those sort of statements when you're launching it that this is not about freedom of religion, you know, it's about freedom from religion. The second real concern or reason for concern is that at least two of the people who are the main, they call them researchers, but essentially running this thing, have a record in this area. And in a similar review in 1998, they made recommendations that included the need for legislation of the type of a national racial and religious vilification law or a national Freedom of Religion Act. Now, the problem is that when you get those sort of that sort of legislation, you invariably have it used by people to against religion, and particularly against Christian religion.
Well, I was going to ask you about that, because I've read the guidelines online, and it seems to be, certainly as you read it, fairly innocuous, i.e. They've got a number of religious groups that are on board to give some sort of feedback as to whether some of these laws need to be changed. It's all about protecting religious freedom. You're a little bit concerned, obviously, that it's not simply that. It's actually maybe curtailing freedom.
No, absolutely. And if you you actually go into the questions and look at the questions that they ask in the discussion paper, you'll see that these questions are very much coming from a negative perspective, you know. And we've certainly had indicated to us by one of the researchers, that his concern is that the minority religions in Australia should not find themselves at the mercy of the tyranny of the majority, of Christians. Now, that's a really bad sort of motivation to have for a review of this type. Mm. And certainly we've seen in other parts of the world that wherever you end up with religious vilification laws or with a Freedom of Religion Act or a Charter of Human Rights, then you end up with people using those to actually try to constrain religion. Mm. And we have in Australia, as they do overseas, all sorts of groups who want to do that. I mean, we have some very activist sexualist humanists out there. We have very activist civil libertarians. We have activist elements of the homosexual lobby who are actually wanting to constrain the influence of Christianity in the country. And this just provides those people, unfortunately, and I'm not being paranoid about this, it's just a reality, it just provides these people an instrument to do that.
So which parts of the guidelines for reviewing, it's basically reviewing the 1998 report, isn't it, and saying, well, do they need to be updated from that point?
Yeah, I mean, these people were very disappointed that their recommendations from the 1998 report didn't get up, and this is essentially a means of trying to reactivate that. A lot of your viewers will probably, or your listeners will probably think, well, some of these things wouldn't be a bad idea. And we actually started, as we started to look at this, from that position. We thought, well, let's disprove it, or in fact, I was actually of a mind at one stage that maybe a Freedom of Religion Act would be beneficial because it would give us protections, But as we look right into it, and not just us, we did it with very qualified academic help, as we looked into this, we realised that wasn't the case at all. That once you tried to define religious freedom, invariably the definition of it will lack something, and particularly when you put it into law. And a smart lawyer smart judges will be able to turn it around on you. So we're well convinced that we don't want national racial and religious tolerance laws. We don't want a Freedom of Religion Act. And certainly all this is, I think, also calculated to give additional momentum to the Charter of Human Rights, which, of course, is another review which is underway at the moment as well.
Mm. So which areas of the project are you most concerned about?
Well, I'm concerned that if you get any of those instruments and they're placed into law, that you would, for instance, have a challenge very quickly on the right of chaplains to be able to enter schools. Mm-hmm. You would have a privileged position in that regard. Even the right of legislation, which currently we have pretty much throughout, I think, all the states, if not all the states, which actually supports the teaching of religious instruction in schools. You would definitely have a challenge to the exemptions for churches from the anti-discrimination laws so that they can discriminate on who they employ in, for instance, their schools and their churches, you know. And I don't think that's right. I don't think even for instance, an Islamic school that they should be caused to employ a Christian teacher, you know.
Yeah, well,
I certainly don't believe that a Christian school should be caused to employ an Islamic person or a homosexual.
Well, that's what I don't quite understand, because it looks like there's a number of Islamic groups that have been asked to be a part of the review process. I can't see them actually voting for some of these because it would actually be detrimental to their own religion.
Well, I hope not, you know. And you know, of course, this will depend on how they interpret this. Certainly, the racial and religious vilification laws in Melbourne were used by the Islamic Council of Victoria to essentially scare people off from being critical of Islam.
Mm.
Doubtless that the intent of people in putting these in place is, well, certainly there is a good intent on the whole, you know, I think. Not necessarily of the motivation for this particular review, but in that legislation there is. But invariably we found through international experience that it is people who want to remove the influence of Christianity from society who end up using these things, and they use it against the church, you know.
Yeah. So what would you like to see happen, Jim, from this point on? Let me take it from this angle. Which laws would you like to see remain the same, and which laws would you like to see changed in any way?
Well, as I said, having really looked at this from a positive point of view, you know, looking and believing initially that maybe a Freedom of Religion Act, for instance, would help us, we've decided we're better where we are at the moment, which is with nothing that defines religion in Australian law.
Mm-hmm.
We have nothing beyond the statement in the Constitution in, I think it's Article 116 in the Constitution, which essentially states that the state cannot have a state religion. You know, in other words, you can't have a state religion as they do, for instance, in England. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So you actually have a separation in that regard of church and state, which is good. And we actually believe that we're safer to have nothing and to always have recourse to international charters that are there in the UN. For instance, Article 18 of the International Covenant of Civil and Political Rights actually deals with this issue of religious freedom. And if we needed, if for some reason Christians came under particular pressure in Australia and we needed to, we are advised that probably our best recourse is to, at that point, to then call on that international charter.
Right.
You know? Now, it's not that simple, I've got to say. You know, there's a lot of legal turns to do these things. But what we've decided, as I said, through what's been expert advice and a long period of discussion, that what we should be, we'd be better doing is to have nothing in Australian law, as we in fact is the case now, and instead to always have recourse to these international charters if we needed to invoke them.
Okay. You mentioned before the Victorian case of the two Dannys who were basically taken to court for alleged vilification of Islam. It was later overturned, but boy, it was a very long and messy and drawn-out process. I would have thought that that one particular case might have actually put a pale over the whole idea of religious vilification laws in general.
Yeah, I would have too, but we still have them there in Victoria, and we have other states that are looking at actually introducing them, you know. What that whole case really did was it made everybody very, very tentative about criticising Islam.
Mm.
Now, you know, that's not right. I mean, we have a right of free speech, and we have laws that are the laws of libel, and certainly, of course, stop people entering into hatred against other people for their religion or race or anything else. But we should be free to be critical of any ideology. We should be absolutely free to do that. But the situation in Australia now, and certainly in Victoria, is that people would be very, very concerned to speak up because they don't want to put themselves through what the two Dannys went through and through the likelihood of the expense.
So really what I'm getting from what we've been talking about is you're saying we've already got laws in place to cover any of the negative aspects of vilification of anybody of any religion anyway. We don't need something else.
That's right. And also, we have laws also which forbid the extremes of religion that we wouldn't agree with culturally, you know. And where we don't have them, then, you know, this law is a dynamic thing, and we know we have a system in place to pass those laws.
Yes.
So it's a matter of, you know, do we need a sledgehammer to crack a nut and then find the sledgehammer turned back on us? I say no.
Boy, what an analogy. All right, now, they've actually called for Australian response to this. How would you encourage, because as I looked through the project and looked through the various areas for response, it's a very, very big document, and it's enough to intimidate and, you know, put most of us off giving some sort of response to it. How?
I heard someone say today, actually, and I think it's a good thing, that we should not feel constrained to respond within the structure that you've been given there.
Okay.
Really, this is quite a simple issue, you know. Are we free enough in Australia now? Do we think that we need laws that might be misused against us? If someone were to put together a simple statement that even a one-page one or half-page one that encapsulated those ideas and sent it in as their submission, then that's adequate. You know,
okay.
They don't have to, you know, work through every point. And in fact, working through that structure actually causes you to sort of fall into the trap that I believe the whole review is setting. So I think it's not a bad thing to just clear your head, read it all, clear your head, and say, what do I want to say as a result of this? You know,
okay.
And just simply put it down.
Okay. All right. Good to talk to you, Jim.
Yeah, you too, Sharon.
Yeah, thanks so much. Jim Wallace, Managing Director of the Australian Christian Lobby. So, those two websites, one is for the Human Rights Commission, who have actually stated they would like your feedback, HREOC. That's, of course, for the original name, the Human Rights and Equal Opportunities Commission, hreoc.gov.au, and then /FRB. And then, of course, Jim's organisation, ACL, acl.org.au, and follow the links from there, acl.org.au.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.